right where you are in Jesus' name. We're going to be turning into the book of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 and the books of Acts 10 as well. So if you can turn there, Matthew chapter 28, and then we'll be looking at Acts chapter 2. So if you're only going to pick one, you're like, I'm only going to pick out one chapter to turn to. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, it's right after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then there's a church growth book, if you would, Acts chapter 2. How many people are excited? The Pelicans won last night. They beat the Lakers. And so if you care, we've been on a 10-game losing streak. And so for me, like, I didn't even know how to breathe up underneath that. And so it's been a time. But as we pursued the Lord, I feel like it says, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. And just Pelicans winning was just a sign of all these things. Can I get an amen? And for you Laker fans in the house, you should be ashamed of yourselves. There was somebody, they said all the people that were Lakers fan of the game last night, they're from the West Bank. And I don't know what that means, but I agree. And so I cheer hard for basketball. If anybody wants to give me basketball tickets, they were expensive. My little girl's birthday is on Thursday. And she, too, likes basketball, my youngest, not my middle ones. And so I was like, we'll go to the game. Ted had to do some stuff with his family. And so they were like $50, $50 for a ticket for the Lakers game times three, like it's $150. So we just looked it up on Twitter, and then they won. And so it's cheaper. It's cheaper and easier. And you just love when LeBron, I just love when LeBron loses. So anyway, Matthew chapter 28 has nothing to do with the sermon this morning, but I love basketball. And so Matthew 28 and verse 16. How many people love Brother Freddie? Oh, my goodness. We allowed our students, our young people, to share testimonies on Wednesday. And you know when the preacher is good, when they will say something that the preacher didn't even say. And because of the example that he was, and one of our young men came up to the front, he said, I loved how he honored his wife. Like, I don't know if you saw that. And I thought, wow, like he never preached that, but he displayed that. And so when you display something, it becomes something that other people sort of grab a hold of and pick up on. And he said, I went home and treated my wife and kids better. And I said, I bet you she was thankful. And so that's the Holy Spirit. That's the power and the movement of the Lord as we come together and gather together, that he will do something. I remember being called to ministry when I was 17, and the pastor was not even preaching about that, but the Holy Spirit, and I began to weep before the Lord. I had 3 weeks left of my senior year. God said, I want your life. That's the Holy Spirit. That's how you know. And it was such a deep call. And I said, God, I've given you my life. I'm saved. He said, no, I want all of your life for the rest of your life. And I just told my mom that day, I said, I don't know what, but God has called me to ministry. And so I think that's when God moves, when you can hear the work of the Lord. And that's our prayer at Hope Community, that you wouldn't even just hear my words, but that you would hear the powerful and anointed words of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 28, look at verse 16. We're doing a series called To the Ends of the Earth. And so at the end of this on August, April, what month are we in? February. I'm doing good. February 26th, I'll blame it on four kids. And so on February 26th, we're going to have a baptism Sunday. And so if you've never been baptized, we're going to talk about it this morning. But it is a sign of what God has done on the inside. It is an outward display. And so we encourage you on that Sunday to be part of our baptism Sunday. And then after that service, because we're talking about to the ends of the earth, we need you to fix food from your culture, wherever it is that you have grown up in and become a part of. And we are going to have a fabulous meal of all kinds of different foods from every culture that is represented at Hope Community, and we're going to have like a big meal after. So can I get an amen for yummy food? We just some helping, like we love Filipino food, we love Asian food, we love Hispanic food, whatever it is that you do, your culture, bring it in and we will just celebrate with you. The Bible says there'll be of all people, of all tongues, of all tribes coming in together. And so we're just doing that now, right? Because the Bible says on earth as it is in heaven. So we get to celebrate on the 26th, just a taste. And so y'all bring in y'all taste and we'll see that the Lord is good. Matthew 28. In verse 16, it says this, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, somebody say, saw him. When they saw him, this is Jesus after the death and resurrection of our Lord and displaying himself over to 500 people and proving that he was the risen Son of God. It says in verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to him, them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And again, that's not you, that's Jesus. It says, because of that authority that has been given to Christ, in verse 19, it says, go therefore. Say, somebody say, go. Why the church? Well, we're supposed to go. Why this particular church? I have no idea. Whenever Hurricane Ida came through, my husband had COVID. It was a sort of the bad version of COVID. So we sort of moved out. And whenever we had a phone call back into an individual at this church, the whole community said, how bad is it? Because we knew that the east side of Houma suffered severe damage. And they said, nothing's wrong. They said there's an AC flipped in the first classroom. They put a tarp on it. Why? God has called this church to a specific purpose right here in Houma, that God has planted us on Grand Caillou for a reason. And he has the local church, which is the local gathering. And there are many gatherings throughout Houma this morning. But then there is also the global church all across this globe. And we're on the back end of that because we are like the last people to wake up. Do you know that? Like in the Philippines, it's almost Monday. And so they've already celebrated the risen Lord. That is a part of the, there you have brothers and sisters in every country of this world. It's unbelievable. You might not know them, but if you've ever been on a mission trip and you connect with someone, why? Because it's the Christ that is inside of them, that is the same Christ that is inside of us. And to those people, Jesus says in verse 18, and Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore. Somebody say, go. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. And so that's again a command. Baptism is not an option. Can you go to heaven and not be water baptized? Absolutely, because it's what Christ does on the inside of you. But it is a command to us as believers that we are to go and make disciples, but not just to make disciples, to baptize them. Somebody say, baptize them. So if you need to be baptized and you've never been water baptized, right when you walk out the door this morning, there's going to be a sign up, and you're going to, we already have all of our teens. We have like 8 teenagers we're baptizing on the 26th. Amen. And so why? Because we're baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus says, teach them. Somebody say, teach them. To observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. So get baptized. Go out there. And so God uses the church to fulfill the mission, the assignment that he has given each one of us individually, because we are better as a team, right? So if we just use the Pelicans as an example, because they won last night, it wasn't just one individual that won the game. We didn't say, oh, this individual won. We said the Pelicans won over the Lakers. When the church moves together as a team, whenever we become not just a local church, which is good, and it's not just the Houma church, which is fine, but rather it becomes the global church moving the kingdom of God, saying that what is our mission? Why the church? Well, the global and local church exists to make disciples of all nations. There's probably not a moment in my life that I will be able to go onto the other side of the globe and make disciples. I can't. I'm only one person, and God has called me here to this local mission, but there are people in other places that are doing that very same thing this morning, going and making disciples. Why? They're a part of the church. Somebody say, the church. The church is the tool that God uses to fulfill the commission that he has given us. The church. Now, we can get hurt by the church. That's hard. And I wanted to say, I always have this like beautiful picture of the church. And Paul writes letters, some to apostles, but mostly he writes letters to the church. For example, Paul says, so this church thing is a big deal. So to the church at Rome, he writes the book called Romans. To the church at Corinth, he writes two letters because they're bad. And so he writes the letters 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. To the church at Galatia, he writes a letter called Galatians. To the church at Ephesus, he writes a letter called Ephesians. To the church at Philippi, he writes a letter called Philippians. You're getting good at this. And so at the church at Coloss, he writes a letter called Colossians. Why? Because it's the church. See, Paul believed in the global church, and then he writes to local churches to encourage them. I believe that Freddie gave us a word to this local church at Hope Community. If you weren't there, go listen to it. He gave a word on Friday night to the church, capital C church, Saturday night to the capital C church, but I believe last Sunday morning, he gave a word to Hope Community Church. And said, your breakthrough is coming. That was for us. That was for this. It was like as if we got a little letter from God last Sunday and said, keep on. Push on. And so Paul writes letters to the churches. John the Revelator, you might know him. He writes a book, and then he writes Revelations. He writes to seven churches. Somebody say churches. He writes to the church at Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamum and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. Jesus died for the church. Yes, he died for us individually, but Jesus said we are the bride of Christ. Who is the we? The church. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus will come back for the church. And you don't show up to church. I'm dumbfounded how we can be a people now that come to church casually. When I just said that Jesus died for the church, he is the head of the church, and Jesus will come back for the church, and we just treat church as something if I don't have anything else to do. And the Lord says, this is where the gathering happens. This is where the encouragement happens. It can happen online, and I'm thankful for our online viewers, but there is something special. When we come together as the believers, and as iron sharpens iron, and we lift up the praises of Jesus, that just doesn't happen in my personal devotion. And I have personal devotion, but when we sing together, it's your breath in my lungs. So I pour out my praise. There is something that collectively happens because that, my friends, is the church, and we are to be plugged in to the church. It's the fulfilling commission of our lives. It's the assignment that God has given. It's to become a disciple of Jesus, and that happens in the church. For us, that happens on Wednesday nights, Hope Abounds, different conferences, and as we become disciples, we are to go out into the world and grab some more and make them disciples that make disciples, and it happens in the church. Somebody say the church. Jesus leaves heaven and walks with us, and John says, in our neighborhoods. The word became flesh, and the flesh lived with us. And he has called us to gather together and wait on his promise. Now, here's where it gets good. Would you turn to the book of Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2, we see the start of the church. From Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see Jesus goes out, right? He goes into the crowds. He goes across the lake. He heals someone who is demon-possessed. And we see him going from place to place and from town to town. But then when Jesus leaves and he gives us the commission and the assignment is for us to gather together as a church. In the book of Hebrews, it says to do that even more and more and more as we see the day approaching. So the disciples took this seriously. And in Acts chapter 2, now I'm going to read the entire chapter this morning, and then we're going to do communion because I thought this chapter is so good. So let's read together the word of God. It says this, when the day of Pentecost arrived, and they were all together in one what? In place. Accord, if you got King James. We're all together in a place to meet together in a place. Somebody say place. It's the church was being born. It says in verse 2, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. and divided tongues as of fire appeared on them and rested on them, each one of them. So they're praying. These guys aren't just clowning. They're praying before the Lord, calling on the God to give them the promise of the Holy Spirit. In verse 4, and they were all filled, somebody say filled, with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So now we see as they were meeting in the church that God gives them a power and the Holy Spirit gives them an utterance. And in this particular case, he gives them the gifts of tongues. And now verse 5, now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. So the church is called to be multi-ethnic. Look at that. They had devout men from every nation underneath this one place and this one area. And it says in verse 6, and then at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. So God had given the gift of tongues to the people in the upper room that were gathering together. And then when they go out, everyone from all the nations that were gathered in Jerusalem heard the word of God in their own language. This is an incredible story that happened in November. I took some students to an influence conference, and the last service, the man of God spoke and said, I'm going to pray that you will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so probably about 100 or 200 students went up to the altar and believed that God would give them the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is true, and I hope I get it most correct. I know I will. And so one of our students was praying to the Father, to Jesus, at the altar, and was really concerned with his grandfather. And a girl from another youth group went up and prayed, just laid her hands on the back, and began speaking in perfect Spanish. She prays, has no idea what he's praying for, prays the same prayer that he was calling out to God for. And so as the prayer was ending, he turns around and says, do you know how to speak Spanish? And she says, I never spoke Spanish a day in my life. And yet she had prayed the exact thing that he was calling out to God for. And she spoke the language. It was incredible. So he doesn't tell me till that Wednesday. As a youth pastor, I feel like you should tell me that right away. We need to know. I need to know. Like this. And so like he sort of shared. And he tells my son and telling me. That's okay. That's okay. I got you. But that's the power of a living God. Why? He's the same God. He hasn't changed from Acts chapter 2 until 2020. What year are we in? 23. He's the same God. And he calls us to come together inside of the church so that he can fill us with the Holy Spirit. So why? We can go out and tell other people. So you can tell people the good news of Jesus. Keep on reading. It says this. And how is it in verse 8 that we hear each of his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Egypt. I don't know these words. And the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors are from Rome. The church of Rome is born right there. Both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our tongues the mighty works of God. And they were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking them said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, somebody say, but Peter. Come on, y'all clown him in the Gospels, but this man stepped up in the book of Acts chapter 2. It says, but Peter, standing with the 11, lift up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem. And he gives such a beautiful gospel presentation. I want to read it this morning because I felt like the Lord said, just read what he says. It says, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. He grabs that Old Testament. Read your Old Testament. And it says, in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your men shall see visions, and your old men, if you're an old man, dream some dreams. It says in verse 18, even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy, and they will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a vapor and smoke. So now he's pulling out the prophetic in the future. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and the magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone, somebody say everyone, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he ain't finished. Read verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. And now he calls on Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. And you yourselves know, he said, this Jesus delivered up according to the definitive plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and you killed him by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, losing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says, so now he calls on David's voice from the Psalms, and he said, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I might not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let the Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. In verse 29, brothers, Peter says, I say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he died and he was buried and his tomb is with us to this day. But being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with him an oath that he would set one of his descendants on the throne, he foresaw Jesus and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, and he was not abandoned to hell, and he did, his flesh did not see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the promise, the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a full footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you are crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, this is what we want to see in salvation. Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be what? So we repent and we be baptized in the church, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.